Hey everybody, welcome back to Darko's Apple Farm, episode 2, Republicans Wear Jordans Too. You're here with Bryce and Josh.
Yo.
How you doing, man? That's a nice looking Christmas sweater you got there.
I think, well, the thing is, we can't say Christmas anymore because Donald Trump's lost the election, so I guess we just have to say Happy Holidays again.
Happy Holidays?
Yeah, we aren't making Christmas great again, apparently.
Not making Christmas great again. Right off the bat, good thing we called this episode Republicans Wear Jordans Too. I should have put on my Jordans for this.
You really should have.
Man, recording at home. Don't even put shoes on anymore.
You should just be happy I decided to put on pants, just in case I had to stand up to pick up some of our great products like Mango Arizona Iced Tea. It's a dollar. You could do way worse for a dollar.
Just so everyone knows, he is holding up products for product placement. If you want to get in touch with us and sponsor this podcast, we could be holding up your item. Like Late Night with Jimmy Fallon mug. It's a few years old and he has a new show, but we still got the mug.
Monday through Thursdays, 11:35 NBC. So what's up, man? What are we doing today?
Oh man, I got a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about, and I wanted to start with maybe a new segment. Let's see what you think of this. Ooh. My starting five. The five things I want to start with this week.
Let's see your starting five.
Okay. Steph is my choice for MVP. What do you think?
I mean, I feel like that's hard considering no one's played a game yet, but that's a very bold strategy to give it to him before the season starts.
You son of a bitch. All right. Well, if that's your answer, that's your answer.
That's my answer.
Okay, next one. Next one on the starting five. Blake Griffin might be better at throwing people than he is at playing basketball anymore.
Listen, the knees are hurt. Yeah, it's amazing. The knees are hurt. The ankles are hurt. But the arms and the elbows still work fine. We're going to be good with Blake this year. If nothing else, we got to see Mike Tyson come back. Griffin versus Tyson, baby. Let's go.
Griffin throwing bows, man.
Love it. Love it.
Okay. Number three. And this works out because this is a small forward. The three position, right? The Kawhi investigation. How good is this? I love it. I love everything about it.
Love everything about this. For those who don't know, the Clippers are now being investigated for stuff that you see colleges get in trouble for, which are recruiting violations for their trying to bring in Kawhi Leonard. Apparently, their uncle was promised a house, use of the private plane, and potential ownership stake as long as he agreed to get Kawhi to sign with the Clippers. The same offer that his uncle took to both the Lakers and the Raptors, and lo and behold, got turned down.
Well, here are the things that I find very funny about this. I want Shaq to come out and be like, Kawhi, you did it wrong. You're supposed to get paid in college.
Yeah.
Look at LSU. And then also, if he's going to accept this deal, he didn't just accept Drake's like, hey, be a partial owner of my record label.
No.
And we're going to forget about Jerry Sloan saying, don't go to the Lakers. They're a shit show.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's too good. Every angle of this, there's no way to look at the story and not fall in love with it. Listen, I just love the fact that we got the Clippers out here on the same level as like USC football in terms of trouble. I love it.
USC football. You know who played USC basketball?
OJ Mayo.
OJ Mayo.
OJ Mayo. OJ Mayo reference. Listen, California is great at a couple of things. Sunshine State, shit ton of wildfires, and illegally recruiting athletes to come play for their sports teams.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, and rapid homelessness. I don't know if the last two go in hand or what, but.
Man. They have to go somewhere to get away from those fires. Okay, I'm done with that. That seems inappropriate. I feel like I've gone too far.
Happy holidays, everybody.
By the way, here's the next one. Here's one you know I love considering this draft and the chat we had about it that night. Tyrese Halliburton is already better than Killian Hayes. Statistically, he is going off.
It's been four preseason games.
He's better.
It's four preseason games. For one of those preseason games, the Pistons actually had a ball on the roster. Think about that. It's not real basketball season yet.
Dude, sidebar, how good is LaMelo's passing?
LaMelo can pass the ball. He can't shoot, but he can pass.
Like every game, there's one pass where I'm just like, what?
And how good is every other ball sulking? Also, you know it's got to be bad for the Ball family right now when you haven't heard a thing from LeVar.
Ooh, that's probably better for the world.
That's better for the world.
It's better for the world. Okay, last one here.
Who's your point guard in the starting five?
What?
Who's your point guard in the starting five?
Ooh, this one lined up pretty well. Ben Simmons for James Harden is my – like, I really love this for both teams, actually. I really love it for both teams, and I kind of hope this is what happens now because I love Philly. I love Philly this year, but I still don't think they're going to win a championship, and James Harden doesn't give them a championship. It's just it kind of keeps going. You know, you brought in Doc Rivers. You weren't a team that was trying to win a championship anyways. You brought in a coach that can't get you over the hump.
Doc Rivers is like that joke Chris Rock has about Pat Riley. He's just going to get you to the promised land. He's not going to take you there and get you a championship every time, but he'll get you close. You know, he's like a parallel Parker. It may not be perfect, but, you know, it's inside the lines-ish. The cars won't come sideswipe you. We're good.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's obviously, you know, what does Harden actually get traded for is still something, but I think – that's, I mean, obviously that's a much better trade than, you know, LeVert, Dinwiddie, all the picks in the entire world.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really like it. And like, the more I hear about it, the more I hear about it, the more I like it. And I just, you know, like, I think it's an interesting team if you have John Wall, Boogie, and,
Ben Simmons.
Yes.
You just want a team that's never going to actually play together because they're all going to be hurt at various different times. You just want to build out your all injury team even further, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. At least you understand it. At least you understand it. I mean, like, in all actuality, I like it on the aspect that Boogie can play your center. Simmons can play your power forward or your point guard. You have John Wall that can play the one. Like, it, in all actuality, it has some versatility, and it can have versatility depending on who's actually in.
It's an interesting lineup, but again, they're never going to play together. And
bonus one right now. I got a sixth man for this. The best plus minus lineup in the NBA this year is going to be LeBron, AD, Marc Gasol, Dennis Schroeder, and whoever plays with them.
Harrell?
I mean, I would take that off if it's Harrell. I would go away from anything. Just need a shooter out there with them, and we're good.
I mean, I like the lineup with Harrell as long as they're only playing the first half of the season. That's a great lineup.
As long as they don't go to the bubble, we're good.
As long as they don't go to the bubble, which is probably better for a lot of people because we all know that even if Houston even backs their way into the playoffs, James Harden is leaving that bubble to go to a strip club and just leaving that team high and dry. Christian Wood's just going to be sitting there with his hands up like, I don't know where to throw the ball.
Is he the only one going to the strip club, or could someone stop and get some chicken wings at a strip club?
I mean, only if famous rappers are there to Instagram and make it real. only way.
Oh man, let's take a break for a second here.
Sounds good. We'll see you guys on the flip side. We'll be back.
All right, and we're back. Bryce, I guess if we're going to talk sports, we should jump right back into sports here, huh?
Yeah, we should. Let's talk sports.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
The Suns, we discussed them last week. Your excitement for them?
I do love the Suns.
What is their goal this season? What's a win for them, and what's a bust for them this season?
So honestly, I think they look good in the preseason. I know it's very limited, but I like them. I think that team has a lot of success on the run away. I think that we're going to see a more refined scorer in Devin Booker with having a real point guard and Chris Paul there to kind of balance him out, which is going to be nice. He's going to score less, but be way more effective with it. I think for this team right now, you have to be trying to think of aiming to be one of the top four teams in the West. Top five teams in the West is your best case scenario. It's sad, but the fact is the West is still the Western Conference. It's still going to be hard to get past either LA team straight up.
I mean, is it going to be hard to get past the Clippers? Who is their leader? So, what's a win for them then this year? What is the win they've achieved everything they possibly could as a team this year?
They make it to the Western Conference Finals. I think that's the highest level.
That's their goal. That's their
ultimate goal. I mean, I know they're going to say in the locker room championship, but if they make it to the Western Conference Finals, that's a winning season. I don't think it's disappointing if they only win one round in the playoffs. I think the most disappointing thing would be if they don't make the playoffs at all. That's a failure. That's a complete and utter failure. If they are scraping to just get into the playoffs to get swept in the first round, that's a failure too. They need to be solidly in the playoffs this year. They need to show the maturity that they know they can do it from last year and then have the growth with Chris Paul joining the team. I think that's the only way you can look at that.
What does Chris Paul give you this season? Like, I, after watching Chris Paul last year, right? Chris Paul just makes your team in the playoffs. Like, he gives you a playoff berth.
Yeah.
So does Chris Paul legitimately make them a fifth seed and then they just have to achieve a little bit better than that? Does Chris Paul just get them the eighth seed and they have to achieve a little better than that?
I think Chris Paul gives them maturity. I think they were a fun team in the bubble last year. They kind of grew. They realized they got the confidence. And I think ultimately what Chris Paul gives you is, like I said, the more efficient Devin Booker, which a more efficient Devin Booker by himself probably takes you from a middling playoff eight seed to a top five seed in the West if he's reaching his full potential. And I think Chris Paul brings that to him.
Well, it's the reason I asked that is 538 has them listed as 42-30. And that is that would put them in the fifth seed.
Right.
Which I think for this team, obviously a bust this season would be not making the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, you know, after this season, Chris Paul has his option for the following season. And if they don't make the playoffs, that's a ton of money for Chris Paul. And we know that he negotiated the CBA, so he could get this deal.
Yes.
But does he pass it and leave to go play for the Lakers and they figure out a way to get him an MLE or a sign and trade?
I think that what happens is if this team is not floundering, Chris Paul blows it up. I think Chris Paul, you know, they probably sign and trade him someplace, but Chris Paul finally takes advantage of being like a full fledged free agent, not being traded around someplace, and picks his location.
Well, we know that the league goes as LeBron wants it to.
Exactly.
So I don't know it off the top of my head, but I feel like we should be getting close to a Kuzma extension.
Yeah.
So in all actuality, do we get a sign and trade that consists of Kuzma and Chris Paul and something else to make everything work out?
Yeah, I could see that because especially if the Lakers disappoint and don't win it, they're back to back this year, then you know that LeBron, thinking that he only has a couple of years left, is going to go balls to the wall. And Chris Paul, LeBron, and Anthony Davis just makes sense.
It makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul will just play defense and make up for LeBron forgetting how to play defense for half the season.
I think LeBron remembered in parts in the playoffs. I think he just stopped caring. The great thing about LeBron James is now he feels in his career, he doesn't have to care for like 40 games.
I feel like LeBron playing defense is kind of like when Kobe was like, listen, the best player on my team that isn't me is Shannon Brown. I'm going to shoot every single shot.
Yeah. That's like Kobe saying the best player on my team that's not me is still me. I'm going to pass to myself. I will throw it off the backboard. I will just float it down like kids playing football by themselves. I don't care. I'm getting the ball. And I'm the only one getting the ball.
It's a shame we never saw a situation where, like, in Doug, the animated TV show in Nickelodeon. It's a shame that we never saw him throw a pass to himself, like when Skeeter was the quarterback and threw a pass to himself.
Yes, our Marcus Mariota in the NFL when he completed a pass to himself for a touchdown.
Good call. It's a good call. I mean, Doug's much funnier than Marcus Mariota, except his career ain't going as good. So maybe it is funnier. Maybe it is funnier than Doug.
It's a comedy either way you look at it.
Beats Me, the Beats' newest album.
on iTunes.
Now that we've laid out what a win and what a bust is for this team, where do you see them at the end of the year? Where do you see them finishing? How do you see it going?
I think they're because we'll actually spin it back around to you and looking at kind of those 538 projections. So you're looking at the Lakers and the Clippers are class of the Western Conference. Then you have kind of Dallas, Phoenix, and Denver Nuggets, and maybe the Jazz in there, who are all kind of in that same range. So of those four teams, where do you rank the Suns? I think that they can be as good as the Nuggets, who I think we're going to see a good Nuggets team. I still think they'll probably get number three. But the Suns could be right up there with them.
I see the Suns as a 4-5 seed. Mm-hmm. I'm not as high on the Clippers, but I really like the Trailblazers this year.
Okay.
But I also like it's the Suns, man. It's the Suns with Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. Like we saw what they did in the bubble, and I don't think that's as much of a fluke as a lot of people think it is.
I forgot the chick's name, but she needs to be the team official mascot now. She propelled that team to the bubble. When you talk about team unity and team building activities, that is a team building activity to say the least.
Oh man, it sounds messy. They
she said she swallowed, so I guess it wasn't really.
Oh, that just took it to a whole new level. But I think I see them, you know, in the 4-6 range, you know, mm-hmm. like you're saying, which seems crazy talking about it.
Yeah.
But I'm really not. Is it that crazy?
The reason it sounds crazy is because the Phoenix Suns ownership has been so inept for the past, ever, that you want to think, like, I can't trust the Phoenix Suns if Steve Nash is not running point there.
That's a good point.
That's the reason why. So,
I'll finish with this. I could see them with somewhere between 4-6.
Okay.
Maybe even 7. I could see them winning their first series, and depending on who they play in the second, upsetting someone. I could see them upsetting the Clippers like the Clippers got upset last year.
Yeah, very much so. That's what I said. I think the highest ranking for them is their first round game will be against someone like the Jazz. They could take the Jacks to like 6 games and beat them in 6. I think then you come up and then, you know, whoever they play next, they could see themselves playing the Clippers and beating the Clippers. 7 game series, Chris Paul game 7 coming up hero, or even we start building the legend of Devin Booker. Maybe Devin Booker starts making those clutch shots to win games. Next thing you know, we're looking at our next NBA superstar.
I'm just looking at a situation where if you have the Jazz versus the Suns, mm-hmm. everyone healthy, right?
Yes.
In a 7-game series, you have to switch between Devin Booker and Chris Paul and Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley.
Yeah. And let's
so talk. how do you defend Donovan Mitchell? Do you just put Chris Paul on him the entire series?
Yes, because let's not forget that Mike Conley seemingly lost all his basketball abilities a la Space Jam after going to Utah. He does not look like the same Conley. He doesn't look like the most underrated like NBA player anymore. He just looks like an old point guard.
So I feel like he might be able to turn it back one more time.
We'll see.
If he could turn back time.
If he could find a way.
All right, let's take a break here for just a second.
Sounds good. We'll be back on Darko's Apple Farm.
Ooh, I like what you did there.
Ooh. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. You know what? we are mainly a basketball podcast here, but we do enjoy other sports. I myself am an avid football fan, and as recording this, I still believe that the Lions have a chance to make the playoffs. I know. I get it. I'm that guy. I'm going to take some time, however, to talk about the NFL and mainly our beloved Detroit Lions in a segment I like to call Bryce Talks Lions.
Bryce Talks Lions.
Woo! I spent a lot of time thinking up that name. All right.
Sponsored by Wrigley's Extra Gum.
It's more gum than just regular gum.
It's extra.
It's extra.
By the way, I put a bet on the Lions to win the Super Bowl just for the odds. One day it's going to hit. It's going to be amazing. It was $10, but I'm okay with it. Bovada sponsoring this. They're not the sponsor, by the way, but if you want to.
If you want to, unless, of course, it's sports betting is still somehow banned in your state, in which case, not that.
Go on. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
It's all good. So first, Justin, I'm going to see, have you been keeping up with the Lions news of late? Have you heard all of the great things that have happened?
I've heard bits and pieces. You know, my viewpoint on football these days, I'm just not into it as much as I used to. So you tell me everything I need to know.
Well, if you hadn't heard, the Wicked Witches of the wannabe New England West are done, dead and gone. Bob Quinn, fired.
Gone.
Matt Patricia, fired.
Get the fuck out of here.
You're fired. The Lions are looking like a competent team for once. We brought back Chris Spielman, who you may know as an announcer for Fox. He's also done some analysis work for Fox, and he was also a linebacker in the NFL as a special assistant to the team president to help sit in and listen to these coaching and GM searches. The Lions, for the first time, are interviewing all the candidates for GM, and all looks like we have a chance to interview all the candidates for head coach. We aren't keying in on just one or two people and saying, yep, these are our guys. So the Lions, dare I say, knock on wood, are looking like a competent franchise. It's great to see. And the Jets may go 0-16, which is even more hilarious. So we won't be that. It won't just be us and the Browns, the two only 0-16 teams in NFL history. We'll have the Jets of the misery.
I miss the fact that we were the only team that were 0-16. I really hate that other teams have it. I have a question. I have a question from something I heard on the radio.
I heard
Phil Simms make a comment about how great Matthew Stafford is.
Yes.
So my question to you, is it possible that Matthew Stafford has such big contracts just so he can pay national hosts to on occasion drop how good he is? And then we know the Lions of old. So they're just like, man, did you hear what Phil Simms said? Obviously we're on the right track.
Well, I'll put it to you like this. As much as people here like to bag on Matthew Stafford's contract, I want to say, let everyone know that the quarterback paid directly under him in terms of salary is Derek Carr of the Oakland Raiders. Derek Carr, who John Gruden has just been biding his time to try to find somebody else to play for him. And the guy ahead of him is Jimmy freaking Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo is
making more money than Matt Stafford. So in terms of the contracts, can we say that Matt Stafford's probably better than both of those quarterbacks? Yes. Is he a guy who's going to win a Super Bowl? We might have to build a team around him first, but is he a decent enough quarterback? I say yes.
I feel like we need to start the process with the Lions now. Like we need to blow it up. Just eat that salary when you trade him next year. Let's get some shirts in silver and Honolulu blue. Let's start going to every game that say start the process. Let's cause a fuss.
Let's do it. I mean, the Lions are officially about to start the process. We're getting rid of all the New England guys at the end of this year. We're going to start actually maybe scouting and using our draft picks correctly.
Oh my gosh, so many draft picks. If we just hit on one of our draft picks every other year, can you imagine how good this team would be?
One of the GMs we are actually looking at is Rick Smits, who used to be the general manager for the Houston Texans, who helped draft Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins. That's all we need. Just get us like a big name that's like actually good once a year.
Someone that knows what they're doing.
And who knows? I would love to see a J.J. Watt on our defense, or Deshaun Watson at quarterback, or anything at wide receiver that's not hurt right now.
I can understand that. I can understand. That makes sense. It makes sense. Do you have this early on from what you've been following? Do you have anyone that you're really excited about, a GM or coach, or roughly where we're going to be drafting? Anything that you really want to see? Anything that you might be excited about?
I'm not rooting for the tank. Our draft position is not going to be high enough where it's going to really change too much anyway. So I think we might as well go on ahead. Try to win your last games if you can. You'll still get yourself in the top 12 pick range. In terms of GM, I really like the idea of Rick Smith. I think he was a good GM for the Texans. I think his problem was not Bill O'Brien, because he hired Bill O'Brien, who actually took them to like the playoffs. The problem was Bill O'Brien then taking over the reins and taking control of everything and then trading away all the players he didn't like. So I can't blame him for Bill O'Brien, because he didn't give Bill O'Brien the trade power. He lost out on that power struggle. So I like Rick Smith. I think he'd be a good hire for GM. And I think he would give us the options of any one of these coaches names that we're hearing now, Robert Saleh, Eric Bieniemy, all these big names would be interested in coming here, because you have a competent guy at GM. So that's the name I'm going for right now.
All right. I like it. I like it. I'd like to take us to the next basketball question, if we can transfer out of.
Yeah.
That's where you got to drop your segment name.
Speaking of balling, let's find out what's going on with the Ball family.
All right. We'll bring it right back to Lonzo Ball. This is something I've started looking at that I find really interesting. What do you do with Lonzo Ball? And what I mean by this is Lonzo's good. Lonzo's good, but we also know that if a name gets big enough, no matter what sport, when they hit free agency, they get a big contract.
Yes.
And this is a year where teams are going to have some money. This is a year where we're starting to see free agency start thinning out a little bit more than what we expected to see.
The Giannis extension hurt a lot of teams' mentalities.
It hurt a lot of teams. I mean, we've seen some other people get their extensions.
Yeah.
So if you're the Pelicans, you have Lonzo, who you can make a qualifying to next year.
Yep.
But you also have Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. You have Steven Adams.
Yes.
Two very big contracts. You're going to have to keep Zion. And you have some other bigger contracts coming up. Or you have some other bigger contracts just because of the trade you made.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Because I don't know that you trade him, but how much do you extend him for? What is the point that you bail out? What's he actually worth? I'm fascinated in what you think of this situation.
Well, my whole thing is this. I think I don't think the Pelicans are 100% sure with what they have with him right now. And I think that's their biggest issue. Is he your starting point guard? Is he the guy who is going to play alongside Zion and be the assist and his like second banana or third banana? If not, you really have like half a season to figure this out, because if not, then it only makes sense to trade him. It only makes sense to move him. It only makes sense to try to get the value for him, because realistically, you can try to extend him this year. I don't think you keep him. I don't think they're going to end up keeping him. I don't think there's a way that they're going to be able to maintain holding on to him throughout free agency. Like, they can qualify and he can just do all that stuff, but eventually he's going to leave you. And so they don't have anything else in place.
Well, that's the interesting thing. What team would take him right now? And I don't mean like what team, because think of how many good point guards there are right now. Mm-hmm. What team does he go to? Like before the draft, there was a little bit of talk about, do the Pistons go get Lonzo?
Yeah, there was.
So like that made sense, because we had Derrick Rose, but now we have Killian Hayes instead of Tyrese Halliburton. So like what team would go for it? You know, maybe a team that makes sense in that situation. If Phoenix falls apart and Chris Paul goes to the Lakers, which I'm just hoping for it. And then I'm hoping somehow we get Melo on that team and Dwayne Wade's like, guys, I got a great idea. I'm coming back.
I just want it because I want the ghost of David Stern to get up and reject the trade of Chris Paul to the Lakers, just for cosmic comedy.
Oh my gosh. Just like he's living, like the NBA is living out Scrooged.
Yes. Yes.
Christmas drop.
Christmas coming everywhere this December 25th. Boom.
Wait, it's the 25th?
We got Christmas to sponsor us, baby.
Okay, so in that situation, what team actually goes and signs him?
I mean, that makes sense. You talk about if Chris Paul doesn't elevate the Phoenix Suns, Devin Booker is going to be their guy. So you find someone that fits alongside him. Maybe Ball does fit alongside Devin Booker better.
Plus, does OKC go try to sign him? But like, at what point? What point do these other teams say, you know, I don't want that. That's too much money. You know what I mean? OKC theoretically could figure out how to do it and have two young players. Mm-hmm. Or you could see the Knicks go sign him for full amount, go for it, all in.
To be fair, anytime you say point guard, the Knicks are going to always be an option.
They're like,
yeah, they nut themselves. It's just like when Troy Reaver here, center for Detroit Pistons. He just gets real excited, blood rushes to certain parts of his body, and he's just ready. So I think anytime you talk about a point guard and New York makes perfect sense too, because think about putting Lonzo Ball in the New York market. That's exactly what the hell both the Ball family and like ESPN, Stephen A. Smith and all them want.
It would be a big baller move.
It'd be a big baller move. Triple B brand would be still nowhere because that's not a thing, but it would be a big move. It'd be the move that really makes the most sense.
So my question to you is, if you are Dave Griffin, you have this season.
I'm Dave Griffin now.
What do you want to do? Like, how do you handle it if it's you?
I think.
What do you project the team to do? How do they handle Lonzo? What is the step?
I think you take a first. You let the first half of the season play out. Okay, is this team coming together? You know, they've all played together now. There's not any more shock and awe. So like Zion, who he is, what he can do. We all see the potential and like the growth. As he's growing, is Lonzo Ball growing with him? If that's a yes, great. Let's do whatever we can. We'll move heaven and earth to keep him here. If it's still wonky and they're still looking like a seventh seed in the Western Conference, I cut bait. I see what I can get for him. I see if I can get a boatload of draft picks and then try to go. I know there's not a ton of free agents coming up next year, but I try to go bring in a veteran. Maybe that's a team that can go throw a lot of money before they have to pay big money for Zion and get a year of Chris Paul.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. Or they could just go sign Derrick Rose for 12.
Yeah. Why not? Why not three-team trade it? Get Derrick Rose in there for the second half of the year.
Ooh, I see what you did there. I see what you did there. I like it. Okay, so here's my thought on this. I think you have to keep Lonzo, but you have to figure out what Lonzo's worth. And I don't know that you go past $22 million for Lonzo. Mm-mm. Like that's my hard cutoff. I wouldn't really want to do $20 million for Lonzo, but
I haven't seen $20 million worth of play from him at least on the Pelicans.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's where the name comes in, and I think he gets paid a little better.
Name and like you said, opportunity. The fact is, watching all these other guys come through and sign these big money extensions this year, Lonzo's free agency status just keeps bumping up because there's not going to be anybody else.
I have another interesting one, though. I have another interesting one that I just thought of that I kind of like because we know that Presti loves his first-round picks.
Yeah.
What if we found a Lonzo for SGA trade and they gave up all of the Lakers picks that they're still getting, so they kept all of their picks and just brought in SGA, got another year of rookie contract, plus you get SGA to play with them.
I don't see Presti making that move. That's the only thing about that. I don't see Presti making that move.
Do you think he sold on SGA is his one piece? He's starting around that?
Yes, I think so. And I think that's what precipitated the offseason moves from Oklahoma City this year. They're starting to build, and they're going to try to build the team around him.
I hope that's a situation, but I'm still not completely convinced that that is the situation. Other than, I have no mistake, I love SGA.
Yeah.
If you're going to play 2K right now and you're going to let me pick one person, it's probably SGA.
Okay, I'm going to pick LeBron, but, you know, to each his own.
Go for it. Go for it. I can't play with LeBron in games for some reason.
I just barrel into the center. That's all I do. I just drive and dunk.
Oh, man. That's what I do with Vince Carter. I just play with retro Vince Carter. It's my favorite. So, okay.
Vince Carter.
Well, I find him to be an interesting case. It's going to be a storyline that I watch through the rest of the year is what's going on with the Pelicans, what's going on with Lonzo. See if we get some storylines of, you know, random Sports Nation writer writing a beat piece about this trade that they hope happens. And I'm really interested in it.
Let's do it. Ball on ball.
Ball on ball.
We're
going to have a segment that reoccurs on occasion called Ball on Ball.
Ball on Ball.
Republicans buy Jordans too. Okay, we're going to come back.
And some Republicans enjoy Ball on Ball. They just don't.
We're
going to
come back in
it.
One second with the final piece here we have. And we're going to talk a little projections about what 538 sees happening this season. Yeah. So we'll see you in a few.
See you in a few.
All right, we're back. Bryce,
it's
time to let's discuss some projections.
Let's discuss.
I would like to start with the Lakers here. Lakers are projected at 48-24, and they have a 22% chance to win the finals.
Yeah, and I think the 24 is basically because, like I said, they're going to be 40 games where LeBron just decides I'm not playing. Like he might be in the game physically, but mentally he's going to be thinking about Space Jam 2.
I'm wondering if LeBron intentionally missed the playoffs so he could make Space Jam 2.
I would not be surprised.
Because do you know what the cost? Do you know what, like, I saw somewhere, I forget what it was, but it was a ridiculous cost if he would have made the playoffs and had to push back the making of the film, which his production company is making. So right. He would have lost that money.
He would have lost that money. And you have to think about this too. That is the only time we've seen LeBron with an extended injury.
Yes.
He's in his entire career.
Okay. So 48-24.
I think that's
spot on.
I think that's pretty spot on. I think that the Lakers are going to get they're not going to try to be the best team in the league because they aren't, or they're going to try to be like the best record or whatever. They're going to go on ahead. They're going to take some games off, which is going to hurt because I have LeBron on my fantasy basketball team. But you know, it is what it is.
I had someone message me yesterday and ask, in this fantasy draft I have, mm-hmm. I'm assuming Giannis, Luka go first. Who do I take next? Anthony Davis or Jokic? And lays out their league, and I was like, Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
I love me some Jokic. You know how I feel about Girth Nowitzki from Brent Whipple. You heard it here first. Brent Whipple created Girth Nowitzki.
It is the best nickname ever for all the right and wrong reasons. I both love it and hate it. Girth Nowitzki is the best nickname.
All right. I'm gonna lay this out here on the Lakers. They're going to hit 50 wins. They're going to win another championship. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis, yelling Kobe, hitting that three over Girth Nowitzki that's it for me. Like they're going to do it again.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I could see them potentially getting upset in the finals by a team, but I can't tell you who it is. I just see that because I think that's the move that gets them Chris Paul. Outside of that, no. Lakers, this team looks too damn good. They look too damn good.
I'm excited to see them play on Christmas Day too.
Yes.
Very much so. That brings us to the next one here, which I have labeled together, which is the Celtics and the Bucks. Let me give you a rundown on what 538 has here. Mm-hmm. Both of them are 46 and 26. Both of them are 98% chance to make the playoffs. The Bucks are 21% chance of making the finals. Celtics, 28%. Bucks, 11% to win. The Celtics are 15%. What do you think of those numbers? Why are the Celtics higher? Do you agree with it? Give me everything.
So I think the Bucks kind of got a little bit rocked this offseason at first when the sign and trade did not go through, and then ultimately just came back and said, you know what, screw everybody when they sign Giannis. It is by far the best move they could possibly make. It revigorated the whole franchise. I think that's what gets them over the top. I think the Celtics are good, and I think Jason Tatum is still continuing to become the all-star that we are seeing, and he already has been. But I think 538 is off. I think the Bucks actually have a rebound season this year.
Ooh, you think they have a rebound season?
Yeah, because I think they disappointed last year. There's no way around it. They disappointed. They thought they were going to be a team that was going to be like the team of contention. They were not expecting the Miami Heat of all the teams to come out and win and make it to the NBA Finals. No one saw that one.
I think I'm on the opposite side of that.
Okay.
I'm on the opposite side of that. I think the Celtics will be the number one seed this year in the East. And I think they're going to squeak out and be a little bit better than the Bucks. I like Jason Tatum. I like that. I mean, they can play the defensive lineup you do not want to see. And I love that about that team. Mm-hmm. I don't have much more on that. I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting, though. It's funny how they have them ranked so similarly, but they still give the edge to the Celtics.
And that's before we even mention the Nets, which we'll save that for another podcast. I feel like we talked enough Nets last week. Let's jump back to home. Come back to Detroit. You're in Detroit. I'm a mile away from Detroit, but you win this round. The worst team projection in the NBA this year, with 14 starting centers on their lineup, the Detroit Pistons, 18-54, with no chance of making the playoffs and definitely no chance of winning the finals. What do you think of 18-54?
They have us 18-54. The next worst teams are the Cavaliers and the Knicks at 23-49. I have to think we're still better than the Cavaliers and the Knicks. I think this would be the best case scenario for Detroit because it puts us with the highest odds to get the number one pick. But anywhere, as long as we finish low, we're happy. I want to see from the Pistons development. That's it. I want us to be competitive in games and lose, because we're competitive and lose, we put ourselves in the position to get one of the top players next year and have a true superstar to build this team around. I think that's what Troy Reaven's looking at this. Like, he's like, I want a team that can compete, that's fun to watch, that can maybe bring in, you know, like some eyeballs on the TV, but sucks.
Do you know where Troy Weaver's favorite spot in a room is?
The center?
The center. I agree. I would still go over on 18-54.
I think I'm taking the over, though. Yeah, I don't think we are
18. Bovada, here I come.
34. Yeah.
18-54, I don't see them being the worst team in the NBA. I Cleveland and the Knicks exist, and I do not see it happening.
I mean, you look the Knicks, then you're trying to talk about, I know we're going to get some of these other teams at the bottom, but like, yeah, the Pistons are in the same realm as all these other bad teams. I don't think that we're that much worse than, you know, the Warriors the Wizards. You know, I don't think it's that much of a difference.
Ooh, I like the Wiz this year, by the way. Okay, we'll jump to that right now then. Mm-hmm. I got this queued up here. Like, I already planned this out or something. The Bulls, 25-47. The Wiz, 25-47. The Hornets, 24-48. All three of those are pretty close. Obviously, two of them are exact same. The Hornets, not far off here. Do you agree with that order? Bulls, Wiz, Hornets. Do you think it could be mixed up? Do you like one team more than the other? What do you got here?
I don't like any of those teams, first and foremost. All of them suck. But I do. I think I like the Bulls the least, which is odd to say because normally I'd be like, oh, default to the Hornets. Duh. They gave Terry Rozier to a ton of money and then went out and drafted a point guard the very next year. And then
Terry was looking good this preseason.
He did look good this preseason, but he didn't even finish the season starting for that team. So, again, that's normally the thing I want to end on is how bad the Hornets are. Mm-hmm. Also, they have Mr. Republicans by his shoes himself trying to run an organization like he's run his political leanings. Just way out of character, way off the mark.
He, the second best player of all time, is literally the worst GM and owner in the history of the NBA.
Which is fitting.
It
wouldn't be fair for him to be good at all of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Signs Gordon Hayward.
I don't have anything other than that growl that I just did. Sorry about that.
All these teams suck.
I'm going to say the Wiz have a better record than both the Bulls and the Hornets. I actually like that team. It's not the team that I'm going to say even makes the playoffs. I'm just saying they're better than the other two.
I like Bradley Beal.
I like Bradley Beal
more than
What about Davis? Denny?
Sure, why not?
Gotta love some Denny too.
Yeah, again, you're naming Brewing. Players. You're naming players who I know, but realistically, do we?
Make it easy. Played enough 2K with them on our teams.
Those are the guys you get in 2K when you're just like, when you start rating shopping at the end of drafting your team. You're like, oh, okay, this guy's ranked this high? Sure, yeah, let's go for it.
Oh, man, the end of free agency when you build your own storyline by signing the oldest person in free agency so you can win them a title before they retire?
Yes.
I don't think the Bulls finish with the starting five that they have right now. I think someone has to go.
Yeah. I think who? I think they trade Markkanen.
And that's a shame. That's a shame because Laurie's going to go somewhere and be good.
He is. He just doesn't fit with LaVine. You got to pick one or the other.
Again, another team that's like, you know what? I want every power forward, every single center. Bring me Eddie Curry.
They're out here trying to bring Andrew Bynum out of retirement.
I heard he's at a World Cup game though. He's busy.
Oh man, as long as he stays away from bowling alleys, him and Ezekiel Elliott.
You always call me on my cell phone. Meanwhile, I'm at a World Cup game. I'm busy. So I think Laurie's another interesting person to start watching the trade market. I'm already loving trade talks that are happening this year. People just throwing out ridiculous trades already.
Laurie Markkanen can fit as especially on a good team. He could be a great six man. He could be your team's best six man.
Could the Nets find a way to go get Laurie?
Actually, you know what team I think we might need to hear about?
Who?
The Milwaukee Bucks.
I
think the Milwaukee Bucks try to bring in Laurie Markkanen.
Well, they have to do it before free agency. We know how that goes for them.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't let him agree to actually go there. Just force him to go there.
Okay. So that's I like them. I actually think the Bulls will be the worst out of those three.
Yeah, for sure.
Which brings us to a little higher up in the East, and that's the Hawks. 35 and 37. I've heard a lot of people call them the eighth seed, maybe ninth seed, maybe seventh seed. 35-37. What do you see? Is this the team that comes out and wins the play-in? And
I think they might, because I think what we're going to see this year across the board is more offensive-based statistics and less defensive-based statistics, since teams have not had a true training camp to like get themselves defensively mentally ready. We're going to see a lot more like, all right, we don't know what's going on. Players maybe not playing, you know, COVID related stuff. Just get out there and shoot. And because of that, we're talking about basically just like 2K type season that fits right in for Trae Young, where all he has to do is like, yo, we know you can't play defense. Doesn't matter. Shoot the ball. Just shoot it.
That's exactly why I picked Steph for MVP and Steph, I mean, just being that good. I hear you. I hear you. And I think Gallo wins Sixth Man of the Year this year.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
And when you look at this, the Hawks are 35-37. They have the Pacers 36-36, the Magic 36-36. I don't know how the Magic get to 500. We know either. That the Magic are the team that hits the eighth seed every year, gets that one win. Everyone, if they make it into the eighth seed and they play the number one seed, you put all your money on them winning that first game.
They win one game and do not win another game. And they beat the Bucks.
Regardless, I'm right there with you. I don't know what the actual win total comes out to be, but the Hawks are in the playoffs this year. And good for them for going in on it and making the run. And I'm excited to see how they look in the playoffs. Obviously, it's going to look like the regular season. It's just the playoffs. But Trae Young getting a taste of the playoffs, how did that look?
I think it's going to be interesting because I think teams will start to clamp down more. You see defense starts to play a bigger factor unless you're watching the Jazz versus the Nuggets, in which case it's just a shootout. But every other series, you're watching more defensive base matchups. That's why Orlando can win one game. And yeah, I think that's when he starts to realize, oh, I need to learn how to play defense or else all these other guards I'm facing are just going to go right by me like I'm a turnstile.
Yep. They that's how it goes. And it's funny that you say that because my thought was, is he just going to go put up 50 in the playoffs and pretty much have the same series that we saw the Nuggets versus the Jazz and he's going all in.
Yeah.
So I'm right there with you. And final one right here. We have the Spurs at 35-37 and the Grizz at 34-38. Obviously a perennial team that is in the playoffs at the very bottom of the NBA this year. And a team that made the playoffs and looked real exciting last year out of the playoffs. So how do you add those up? What do you think? What do you got on these two?
You know what? I'm going to drop a bold prediction. Spurs find a way to trade DeRozan halfway through the year, and the Pistons finish with a better record than the Spurs.
Ooh. I will take that bet. I'll take that bet. Calling and depending it. On how that goes, I'll bet a flare chop on it. When I win this bet, we will record this, folks. We'll put it out for everyone to watch. I'm going to flare chop Bryce across the chest so hard, he isn't going to know what's happening when I'm strutting on him.
And when I win and I am right, I am going to hire somebody, because that's what a boss does, to do the same thing to him.
With all that sponsor money we're bringing in.
All sponsor. That sponsor money, baby.
Also, sponsor. We could reference you right now.
Sponsor. You have thing, we show thing. Sponsor.
All right, we got off this enough. Let's end this here with I just got a quick question about these Christmas Day games.
Yeah.
Do you got one that's sticking out to you that you're excited for? Do you got anything you want to bring up on these games before?
I mean, I don't want to steal your thunder, but I think the most exciting has to be the Mavericks Lakers. Like, that's
okay, I can see that choice.
I mean, I don't want to see your thunder. I know you love Luka, like sexually love Luka, but I just think that's going to be a super fun game. I love this. I'd like to see what the Mavericks do this year. I think Tim Hardaway is going to be better. I think this is a good team this year. I like them. I think they're going to give the Lakers everything they can handle on Christmas Day. I think there's going to be a classic LeBron versus Luka showdown that we're going to talk about years to come.
I like that they are pairing him against LeBron already. Mm-hmm. You know my jokes that I've made that Luke is already the best player in the NBA and that he's already the best of all time. I really like that Luka just comes out and goes, all right, it's LeBron, I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm gonna win tonight. I like that he has that mentality. The game that I would actually pick,
go for it.
I think this is gonna surprise you a little bit, but I have been watching and waiting for Pelicans Heat.
Yeah.
That's the game I'm real excited about.
Because you're going to see the matchup that everyone wants to see. The big flashy name in Zion Williamson going up against Bam Adebayo.
Yep.
Like the low key most versatile big man we have in the game right now.
The low-key, maybe best player on that team is Bam Adebayo.
Yes.
He just jumped in the rankings this year. I think he's top 25 best players based off the ESPN ranking this year. He's had a big jump. You know my love for Heat culture. You know, like that grind out basketball. They remind me of going to work last season. That's why I was pulling for him to win so hard.
I wasn't.
I was real catch 22 because you know how much I love Mamba.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm real excited to see that game. That's the early game. I'm excited to see Steph on Christmas Day again. Like yes, I know they're not going to do that.
It's good though. And I think that people, you know what? Another bold prediction. People are underrating the Warriors. Mm-hmm. I think that this year we see the Wiggins we all hoped we could see when he was drafted.
Ooh. I like it. I'm in for that storyline.
I think Steph Curry makes Wiggins the player we always hoped he could be.
I really like that.
And I think I think that move catapults them next year with Klay coming back. We see a resurgence for Draymond. And I think this team all of a sudden looks again like the scariest team because they have this guy on here that nobody expected and everyone thought they were going to move on from, who ends up revitalizing his career.
I like that a lot. Let me finish with this one for you.
Yeah.
Actually, shoot, I have to mention both. I was going to finish with Nets Celtics, but the Clippers Nuggets, if the Nuggets come out and take a shit on their chest again, like it's the playoffs continued, then Clippers might just want to, they might just want to forfeit the season. Just take, we're the worst record. We got to do something. Paul George is going to leave anyways because he just signed a new contract.
Yeah, oh, he's already out the door. It's going to get so bad for Clippers Nation, this between the investigation and taking all their draft picks, Paul George giving him the kiss of death by saying he's going to stay there forever, which means he's gone this year. And Kawhi Leonard probably just going to get hurt again like he did with the Spurs and just decide not to play. This team's going to be so desperate. They're going to see if there are any Sterlings left to come on, run this team anymore.
Ooh. Okay, last one right here. We got Nets Celtics at 5 p.m. Perfect time, you know.
Yes.
Catch a second half after dinner. So I got you with this. Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, who balls harder? Who has the bigger game?
Tatum's going to want to show out because he likes to play for a national media. Kevin Durant's going to go off. Kevin Durant is going to be finally feeling like himself again by this game. I think this is the game where Kevin Durant shows the world, hey, I'm still KD. I'm still one of the most versatile offensive threats in this game.
He walks out and says, I'm a bad motherfucker.
He walks out and Kyrie Irving walks out and doesn't say anything because he still doesn't want to talk to the media at this point. So
does he talk to his teammates?
I don't know.
Does he call out plays?
I mean,
does Kyrie have the most turnovers ever because he doesn't talk during games anymore? He just hand signals and dribble the ball.
Steve Nash is still the team's point guard. He's just calling the plays out from the bench.
Okay.
Like, he's doing middle school basketball. Run a two. Two.
Okay. So you say the Nets go off, win the game?
Yes.
Okay. How about this one for you? Mm-hmm. Marcus Smart has a better game than Kyrie.
Ooh. That'd be interesting. I could see it. Marcus Smart likes to ball in big moments.
Marcus Smart is one of my favorite players in the NBA.
Man, first, just looks dirty. Looks like he will definitely, like, kick you in the groin. And then just be okay about it. And then just kind of just walk away like nothing happened.
Just kick a motherfucker in the dick and walk away.
He out here just, you know, he out here kicking field goals between your legs and just walking around just still trying to shoot a three and miss it. Classic Marcus Smart.
Don't worry, guys. I'm under our net. I got this three.
Just straight up here, out here bricking threes that nobody asked for.
Oh my gosh, I love it. All right, bud. Well, we'll catch up. We'll catch up next week. We'll be talking about these games that we just discussed and some other storylines. And right now, your sponsor could be dropped, but more work on that.
You know what? Everything is going so well. I gotta say that next week, we'll make everything smooth and tasty. just like Welch's grape juice. Welch's grape juice. It's the other purple drink.
All right, man. I'll catch you later.
Happy holidays, sir. I'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye, everybody.